I want to hear how you can shout this morning. He deserved the glory and he deserved the honor. Let everything that have breath praise the name of our Lord and Savior this morning. And that's why I can stand here and I can shout and let you know that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask and above all that we can think this morning. Hallelujah. I'm so excited to be here this morning, and it's certainly a joy and a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. And I just want to say thank you for you to press your way and to be in the house of the Lord on this wonderful Lord's Day. And first of all, I would like to say a special thank you to Pastor David and Angela for allowing me. It's been a while, and many of you know I was in the hospital, and you know, almost 9 months ago, I was down. But I'm glad I'm not in a horizontal way, but I'm standing vertical. Hallelujah. I'm standing. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I want to thank all the leadership and the board and everybody else for allowing me again this morning. But I believe that the Lord placed a word in my heart, and I'm excited to drop this in your spirit this morning, because I believe this is God's word, and it is not figuratively, it is literally. And it's for not then, but it's for ahora. Amen. Now. Amen. So if you have your Bible this morning, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. It's now. Present tense, right? It's not past tense. That was then. And that, you know, that is what the enemy liked to tell us. It used to be then. But I came here to let you know that the enemy is a liar. He is born. His mama is a liar. And everybody else that is around him is a liar. So we believe in Jesus. He is the truth, the way, and the life. Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Beginning from verse number 6. This is the Apostle Paul here. Paul, yo. The Bible read like this. For though I would desire to glory. Everybody find it? I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth. But now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in my flesh, or in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above the measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, or three times, as some translation says, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weaknesses. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessity, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. For when I'm weak, let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, that I can stand again behind this podium. And Lord, I can shout just like the Apostle Paul, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you will hide me in this podium. Let my mouth be clay, O God, to your people. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, O Father. Let this word, O God, that you placed inside of me go forth, O Father, and touch many lives today that is in this house. And I pray, God, that your word indeed that you said, it will accomplish what it set forth to do in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the exact text that we read, God's grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient for you. And I feel like I'm driving against the wind this morning, or I'm swimming against tide this morning, because there are all kinds of teaching. When God says okay, and when God answers you, and how you can name it, and how you can claim it, and how you can expect it, how you can receive it, and five ways to get blessed, and 10 ways to get up to the top, and there are 3 steps to get up to the top of the hill, and 5 ways to overcome, and 6 ways to get out of death. And there are all kinds of teaching and all kinds of messages and self-help book and counselor that will get you what you want. But for a few moments, can I pause? And I came here to let you know that you don't have to lose faith when God does not say yes to your request. You don't have to get a nervous breakdown this morning and have a pity party and throw in the towel and walk away from church just because you did not get that job, or just because you did not get that house and you did not get healed and you didn't get what you asked the Lord for. We don't need faith this morning to direct us when everything is falling into the right place. We need faith this morning to uphold us when all hell is breaking loose in our life. When you look at your Bible in one hand and you look at your life in the other hand and it doesn't line up, it doesn't match, that is where we need theology, and that is where we need teaching and Bible doctrine. I don't need you to tell me how to act when I'm healed. Don't tell me how to shout when I get that new job, that new house, that new car, the new wife, excuse me, the new husband, or whatever. I got enough sense to be happy when things are going right. But teach me how to be happy when all hell is breaking loose in my life. Teach me how to stand when it's raining, when it's pouring down my face, when the 4 walls are coming into me. Teach me how to trust in the Lord and lean not to my own understanding when God did not answer my prayer. Teach me those things. And here in the Apostle Paul, he takes this great opportunity to speak to the church in Corinth. He unveils a personal experience to impact the audience, or what we call the congregation, to tell something that went between him and the Lord. The Apostle Paul, he takes this great opportunity. Paul doesn't talk too much about his personal experience. But here he bring it into transparency, and he indulge, in which I would like to take the advantage this morning to let you know that when God overrule, when God does not answer your prayer, and Paul the apostle and everybody here that read the Bible know that Paul, when he do it big. He's a big shot. You know, when he speak big. You ever meet those people that when they do something big, they really do it big? When they're right, they're really right. Big, right big. They do it big. Big things. When they win big. They lose big. The Apostle Paul, he did it big. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 9 that God bring him down. God bring him down to his face. And brothers and sisters, that's one of my reason that I can stand here and I can let you know that the Bible is not looking for people that will stand strong. The Bible is looking for folks that will go down on their knees and get and humble themselves. But the scripture declared that he who think he stand, take heed lest he fall. And the Lord knock him down, his animal, and bring him down. And yet he did more than all of the apostles. He did more than all of them. He was big, and he did everything big. When he was wrong, he did it wrong, big, killing all those Christians, persecuting them and slaughtering them. And he became one of those very people that he hate. And sometimes people will look at you and don't really know you. They will say things like, oh, he is gifted. But behind every gift this morning, there is a heavy price to pay. One brother said to me, I want what you got, Brother Seth. And I said, be careful what you ask for. You can't get what I get until you do what I do. People will see the display of your gift, but never understand the inner pain that goes along with it. And if you are gifted this morning, my brothers and my sister, you are going to be punched. And you are going to be buffeted. And they're going to be torn in your flesh. And you're going to feel overwhelmed. And I want to ask you this morning, are you feeling overwhelmed? Or what is rocking your world this morning? How do you feel this morning? And I know I'm talking to somebody in this house that something is rocking your world and you're overwhelmed. The Apostle Paul did it all. And this is the Apostle Paul. The one that write most of the New Testament. This is the Apostle Paul I'm talking about here this morning. He prayed and he prayed 3 times. The Bible says he planted churches. He raised up leaders. He prayed for the sick and they get healed. He prayed for the dead and they come alive. But he says, I'm asking you this favor, Lord. I'm not talking about the jail and the shipwrecked. I just need this one favor from you, Lord. I'm overwhelmed. And the Bible tells us that he prayed thrice, which means he prayed 3 times. And the Lord said, overrule. The Lord did not come true. What happened when you are praying and you are praying and you feel like the four walls are coming into you? You get in blue, you're fasting and you're praying, whatever you're doing, and nothing happened. And here is the Apostle Paul. He did so much, have so much power, and still could not fix his own problem. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. He could have fixed everybody else's problem, but he could not have fixed his own. You all know what I'm talking about? He prayed 3 times, and I believe that he prayed more than 3 times. I believe he was fasted. I believe he was taking communion. And you know how we do it sometime. You said, Pastor Seth, what is the thorn in the flesh? We read it so many times. What is the thorn in the flesh? Well, some people believe it was malaria. Some people believe it was epilepsy and disease in his eyes. And we learn from Galatians chapter 4. And surely I remember that I was sick. I'm sure you would have taken out your own eyes and give it to me if it was possible. That's the Apostle Paul is talking to the church in Galatia. But here we learn that he was blinded. And I believe that he was embarrassed. That every time he would stand and minister the word of God, he probably come into a seizure. Maybe he fell down. Maybe he was ashamed. Maybe this thing that is affecting him, I don't know. If you ask me, Pastor Seth, what is the turn in the flesh? And you're waiting for me to give you an answer? The answer I would say to you, I don't know. I really don't know. But what I can tell you this morning, I'm glad that it was displayed and I'm glad it was recorded in that text. That every single one of us, I believe, had to have a turn in our flesh. And we have been buffeted. We have been punched sometimes in our life. And we are overwhelmed. And sometimes you have that and you are seeking the Lord. And I don't know exactly what is going on in your house this morning and in your life this morning. But this thing has been bothering you. You're trying and you're trying just like the Apostle Paul. And you're praying and you're seeking the Lord. And the Lord is saying, overrule. What do you do? I came here to let you know this morning that you don't have to throw in the towel and you don't have to walk away from church and you don't have to say, I'm not going to read my Bible anymore and I'm not going to pray anymore. I'm not going to be in the ministry anymore and I'm going to just walk away. No, 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 no. I came here to let you know that you have to still hold on Jesus Christ. You have to still walk with him and talk with him. You got to still be like Mary. I'm going to glue myself at the feet of Jesus. Even though there is a woman by the name of Martha has been distracted. And the Lord says, you have been distracted, Martha. So much is going on around you. But your sister is choosing the right part. I came here to let you know that you don't have to walk away. You don't have to turn your back. You need to be like Mary this morning. Many of you know this morning that I was in the hospital. And I'm so glad and grateful that all of you that came at the hospital and prayed for me and the church, that was praying for me. Some of you know what happened and some of you don't know, barely know. But this morning I'm going to tell you exactly what happened to me. After everything came back, the doctor came up to my bed. One of the doctor came up to my bed head and he screamed. And he goes like this. Mr. Seth, you have cancer. And you're going to have to start chemotherapy. And we don't know how long you're going to live. And he left and he gone. He shouted. The whole hospital could have heard that. Mr. Seth, you have cancer. And he left and he gone. And I lie in that bed. And I'm watching the four walls. I started to think about funeral. I started to think about what kind of casket I'm going to have. I started to think about who's going to attend my funeral. All that kind of stuff. I was telling my wife that yesterday or this morning. I started to think all the negative things that you can think about. But 2 days after or a day after, I believe after the brethren came, they prayed for me and everything. Pastor David came. And Pastor David, he prayed for me. And then he's walking out to the door. And he turned back. And when he turned back, he came back to my bed. And he says, Brother Andrew, I want you to quote Psalm 91. And he left. That's the word he said to me. I want you to quote Psalm 91. And that was it. And he's gone. Well, when he's gone, what Pastor David does not know is that is one of my stash. That is one of my stash that I will keep in my pocket. That when all hell is breaking loose in my life, when things does not seem right in my life, I will push my hand in my pocket and I will pull out Psalm 91, that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and he is my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. I don't know about you this morning, but I need you to know this morning, you need to have some sort of stash in your pocket, that when all hell is breaking loose in your life, you need to push your hands in your pocket and you can quote scriptures and you can tell the devil in his face that it is well with you. Deuteronomy chapter number 33 and verse 25 says, as the days are, so shall my strength be. As the days are, so shall my strength be. I don't believe the report, even though I love the doctors and even though I love the nurses and I love the hospital and thank God for all of that technology and everything. But still, I would not believe the report of the doctor. I do not believe the report of man. I believe the report of the Lord. The report of the Lord says that he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity and the chastisement of our peace was upon him and by his stripe. Ooh. I am healed and I'm standing. I'm holding the microphone and I can shout, oh, hallelujah. Anyhow, never let this problem get me down. When the trials come my way, I will lift my hands up high and shout, hallelujah. Anyhow. But there are times in your life when God will say no. My mother was dying. I was in New York City, and she is dying, and we had the church over there. And I'm sitting in a corner. I said, Lord, I'm going to fast for 1 week. I fasted, and I prayed, and I took communion and all that stuff that we do. My mother died. What happened when God overruled in your life? I thought about this great man of God, a pastor. His son is dying. And this very day, he walked into the hospital room. And the nurses and the doctor says, sir, you will have to step out. Please go outside. He's dying. He's on his way now, dying. And his little boy opened the eyes and he said, Dad, aren't you going to say one last word to me before I go? And with tears in his eyes, he walked out of that hospital door and he stand outside and he's crying, sobbing and weeping for his boy. And the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord said, I understand how you felt about your son. I understand how you felt about your boy. But think about my son. Think about my boy. When I had to turn my face the Apostle Paul's request here in the scripture was overruled. The very life of Jesus, when he asked and he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. And the Lord said, overrule. And God himself is just, and therefore he will overrule. But I'm glad this morning that I can come to you and I can talk to you about God's grace. I can come to you and I can spell it out and I can say G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. That where our circumstances located, where sin is, grace abound much more. The amazing grace, how sweet it sung, that save a wretch like me. That when I'm lost, now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. And the verse tells us, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weaknesses. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glorify in mine infirmities. The power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I kept this pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, that is when I'm strong. For when I'm weak, I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. And you are in that same predicament this morning. For when I'm weak, that is when I'm strong. Therefore, I take pleasure in this infirmities. Think about that for a moment. And I thought about a wonderful story where God's grace manifested in the book of Hosea. In the book of Hosea. Many of you theologians, pastors, you read that. The Bible talks about a woman by the name of Gomer. Gomer. The scripture declare her as a prostitute. And Gomer would be going out and coming back in and going out and coming back in. And Hosea would go and get her. And I see Gomer in 42nd Street with that little handbag and that mini skirt. And she would be standing in the street corner there. And she would be flagging down cars. And they would be... Men from all over would be coming after Gomer. And Hosea would go back and bring her home. And every time she would go to Flushing Avenue and whatever street that is, Hosea will go and bring her back home. And I see the beautiful grace and the beautiful love and mercy of God that was demonstrated here. And the Bible tells us that they put her up in a place for auction. And she was brought to this port, and here she stripped naked, and she was in that crowd, and men from the east and from the west and all over, as the Bible declare. I don't know exactly, but I can see the picture that they're coming and they're getting ready for auction, like a car auction on Gomer. And the scripture declared that Hosea showed up, and one of the person would bid three. The bid will begin, and then Hosea would say, no, I'm going to bid five. One person would bid eight, and Hosea would say, no, I'll bid 10. And some would bid 11, and Hosea would bid 12 for his wife. Then the Bible tells us that Hosea offered 15 pieces of silver and a bushel of barley. And the auction gravel fell, and he took his wife. He took his wife home, and he bathed his wife. He powdered his wife. He pampered his wife, and he cradled his wife. And he says, the great picture of God here, the great grace of God. He pampered his wife. He says, you are not going to go back over there. Now you belong to me. My grace is sufficient for you this morning. That is the power of God I'm talking about here this morning. That by no means he will cast you out. He said, come unto me, all of you who are labor and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. This is not a God that will slam you down. This is not a God I'm talking about that will shoot you when you do something wrong. No. How many times we trapped in sin and we still nibbling on that sin. But aren't you glad this morning when he told the Apostle Paul, He says, though I'm in a predicament, my grace is sufficient for you. Even though I'm messed up and I keep messing up like Gomer, I keep going back and doing the same thing over and over and over. That does not give us the license to be doing it, but I'm talking about the grace of God that is still sufficient, that is still enough. God's riches at Christ's expense this morning. I thought about the next person in the Bible in John chapter 8. The Bible talk about the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. We all know the story. But can I pause for a moment and bring that into a light for you to really understand who Christ is and who God really is? The Bible says that she was caught. Let me say it this way. She was caught doing it. We're big people. We understand. Listen. And they drag her out. They went in and they dragged her out. I seen this woman was being dragged out. And they pull her out and they dump her in front of Jesus Christ. The Messiah, the teacher. The great man that walked in Galilee and sit at Peter's boat. And I'm talking about Jesus, not that Jesus that was in Bethlehem in a manger. What they don't realize who they bring that woman to. He was not an ordinary man. He was a judge. He was a king. He was everything that they bring that woman and they throw that woman in front of. And they said, based on the law of Moses, that this woman should be stoned to death. But aren't you glad this morning what the Bible teaches? The Bible tells us that Jesus bent his head down. And there are times when people will accuse you. There are times people are going to point their finger at you. There are times people are going to want to judge you. And you got to be just like Jesus. Bend your head and ignore them. And that's what I do. The Bible tells us that I am persuaded. Neither death nor life nor principality nor an angel from heaven nor anything shall able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus this morning. He is not an ordinary man. And in closing, the Bible tells us that he is the Messiah. He is the miracle workers. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. He is the ascended Lord and the Justifier. He is the last Adam. Oh, the one that set us free. He is the Christ, our riches this morning. God who meets our every need, the fullness of God's head. He is the soon coming King. He is the mediator between God and man and not a spirit. He is God between man and God this morning. The blessed hope. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is the blood wash that washes our sins away. The great physician this morning. He is the chief shepherd, the everlasting love, the God, our Savior. He is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And we are living in the dispensation of grace this morning. His grace is sufficient for you this morning. Stand all over this place and give God praise in this house. Hallelujah. My chains are gone. My chains are gone. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I want you to lock yourself in with the Lord this morning. I don't care what they say to you. I don't care how people accuse you this morning. I don't care how many times you're messing up and you kept going back. Listen, whatever is there this morning in your life and you're struggling with it, it can be a drug addiction this morning. It can be cocaine or tobacco or alcohol or pills, you're popping pills or something like that. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're struggling with this morning, the verse still remains. My grace is sufficient for you. Whatever you're facing this morning, I can't change that Bible. I can't change that verse. It still say, my grace is sufficient for you. Every head bow, every eyes closed as we sing this song. We come to the most important part of this service. You're in this house this morning and you said, Brother Andrew, everything that you was talking about there feels like you're talking to me. I'm struggling with this addiction. Tobacco. I believe there are people in this house that is smoking cigarette. You know who you are. And you're struggling with that, and you have a nicotine problem. You have an addiction problem in pornography. You have a problem in alcohol. You're sipping it here and there. And you're struggling and you want to get out of it. And you feel like you have been buffeted. You feel this morning like you have this turn in your flesh. And the Lord is knocking at your door. The Bible says, behold, I stand at your door and I'm knocking. If any man will hear my voice, he said he's going to come in and he's going to sup with you this morning. You said, Pastor Seth, you're talking to me. If that is you this morning, I want you to slip your hands up quickly. If that is you this morning, you feel like you've been buffeted and you feel like there is thorn in your flesh. You said, Pastor Seth, I see hands going up this morning. Thank you, my sister. You might not have an addiction problem, but you feel there's a struggle in your house with your daughter, with your husband, with your wife, with some neighbor, with your job this morning. Whatever it is, a turn that is in your flesh this morning. I feel like I'm talking to you this morning. I want you to slip your hands up quickly. I see all over this place hands are going up. And listen to me this morning. You don't have to be ashamed, because this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. And this is Jesus himself that told the Apostle Paul that my grace is sufficient for you.